WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. My guest, Archie Roach, is an Aboriginal singer-songwriter who doesn't sing the traditional music of his people. The Australian government forcibly took him away from his family when he was 3 years old. It was part of a government policy of assimilation, in which children were taken from Aboriginal society and placed in white foster homes. Now at the age of 37, Roach has his first album, Charcoal Lane, and he's on his first American tour. Many of his songs are autobiographical. This one is about the government policy that changed his life. It's called They Took the Children Away.
This story's right, this story's true. I would not tell lies to you, like the promises they did not keep, and how they fenced us in like sheep. Said to us, come take our hand, set us up on mission land, told us to read, to write and pray. Then they took the children away, took the children away, the children away. Snatched from their mother's breast, said this is for the best, took them away.
Do you have any memories of the time that you were with your family before the government took you away?
Not really. Sometimes I dream. And maybe that's a locked in memory deep down. I dream about times and my parents, but I can't see their faces, so maybe that's it.
What was the story of the day you were taken away as it was told to you by relatives?
Mum and Dad were away at the time. It was usually the case when parents were away, particularly the fathers, that they would come, and if they weren't successful that time in getting any kids, they'd wait for another time. This is what I was told by my uncle, and my cousins tried to hide me. They were acted like decoys, and tried to lead the police away and things like that, and the authorities from where I were, where they'd hid me. But they eventually found me.
So when you were taken away, were there other Aboriginal kids in the neighborhoods that you grew up in, or were you always the only one?
No, they placed you in areas where there was no Aboriginal population.
So you were really alone. You were really isolated.
Yeah, but I didn't realise I was an Aboriginal person or Indigenous person until I was about 11.
What made you realise it?
I took a friend home one time from school. I never took people home much, but one time I did. Of course, he was a white friend. He was just a good friend, and as he left, he said, "They can't be your real parents, Archie. They're white." And I didn't realise it for a time. I didn't question anything. It's really strange. I started to question things then.
When you were 14, I believe it was, you got a letter from your sister, who you hadn't seen since you were taken away from your family. That your mother had died. Was that the first time you'd heard from anyone in your family since you were taken away?
Yes.
How did that letter change your life?
It confused me. I was taken away when I was 3. I received a letter. I'd never seen my mother or father since then. I received a letter from this lady I'd never heard of, saying she was my sister and that my mother had passed away a week ago. I didn't know what to think. I asked people questions, and my foster family never really had any answers because they weren't told anything either. So I just ran away.
You ran away from your foster family?
I just ran away from everything. I just ran away from life.
When you ran away from the foster home, you lived on the streets, I believe in Melbourne. Where did you live exactly on the streets? What kind of streets?
Just in the city, in the parks, the gardens, alleyways. That's what we call it, alleyways, lanes. So that's why the title of the album, Charcoal Lane, I suppose you'd say Charcoal Alley away or something. Yeah, there's a place we used to live up the back streets and alleyways and make sort of like little lean-tos where we used to live in and things like that.
Did you ever steal to get money or
yes,
to get food?
Yes. Yes, you know, I had no income. There was I was too young to receive any social security. So at times you to survive, you had to steal and do some bad things, what people might regard as really, really bad things. And I look back and I suppose they were, but it was either that or just die.
Did you get in trouble with the police? Were you ever arrested?
Yes, I was in and out of jail for certain things. I drank a lot of alcohol. I was alcoholic at 14. Sometimes I'd become violent, but it used to make me sick. I used to wonder why I used to get really sick. I thought it was drinking, but now I know what it was. Why I used to get really sick.
Why?
Because we were hunter-gatherers. We were gentle people. We were peaceful people. Violence and things like that aren't really a part of our spirit and nature, and that's why I became sick.
Let's take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Archie Roach. He's an Australian Aboriginal singer-songwriter. Let me play your song, Down City Streets. Does this describe your experience when you were homeless?
Yes, it does. It's pretty much how it was.
When did you write it?
Well, actually, if I may clarify, that was a song written by my wife. Yeah, she, I met my wife on the streets.
Well, let's hear Down City Streets.
Down city streets, I would roam. I had no bed, I had no home. Crawled out of bushes early morn. Used newspapers to keep me warm. Then I'd have to score a drink, start me up, help me to think. Down city streets I would roam, use my fingers as it comes.
That's Down City Streets from my guest Archie Roach's new album, Charcoal Lane. When you started writing songs, did you perform on the street?
Yes, I sang a little bit on the street. Most of the times I'd be too out of it, too drunk. But I'd sing to all my friends in the park. They were a pretty good audience, and they didn't seem to mind.
So what was your breakthrough when somebody heard you and realized you were talented and helped you start performing or recording?
Well, you'd have to go back a little bit. My wife had left me and my children. She took the children because she had enough. Not so much, well, I suppose, of me, but it could have been me, but just the lifestyle, and she wanted something better for herself and the children. So she left me and I thought, great, you know, I'm a free man again, but it really wasn't like that at all. You can't deny your feelings. I finally decided to do something about my drinking. And it wasn't until after then that I'd stopped drinking and dealt with that. And that took a while. Just the actual physical, to stop drinking, it's more than that. My mind was so befuddled by alcohol. Yeah, I picked up the pieces and I just got regular work and sang mainly as something to do, wrote songs and sang them around the community, various coffee lounges, and I just started getting to get a following, or people just started to, I don't know, like the songs and the music, so. But that wasn't, you know, that's how I sort of started it off.
And what was the next step?
About 3 years ago, I was at work and somebody rang up and asked me if I wanted to perform at a Paul Kelly concert. Paul Kelly and the Messengers, they're an Australian, he's very well received in Australia and a few other places, established musician and very popular. And it was a big break for me. So I went along and sang two songs at his concert, but I didn't realise how big his concerts were. And there was about 2,000 people in this auditorium. I was a little bit nervous, but I sang two songs. One was "Took the Beautiful Child" and "Took the Children Away." And when I'd finished, there was nothing. I couldn't... Yeah, there's no response or anything, and I said, "Oh, I've died. They really don't like me." So much for that, and I started to walk off stage. And I'd never heard of it before. I'd seen it on shows and TV and films where one person starts to clap, and then another, and then another, and then another, and then another. And before I actually got to the wings, there was this big roar of, It sort of it took me back. I was taken aback a bit, and I didn't know what. I just stood there, and I didn't really know what to do. I just it felt good that people they did enjoy it. They did like it. So, but it took them a while to respond, I suppose.
So then, Paul Kelly, whose concert that you sang at, he helped get you a recording contract.
Well, he believed enough in me to talk to his record company, to the relevant people there, executives, and gave him a listen to some tapes, some demos that I'd done, and they decided to take a chance with me and produce Charcoal Lane.
Have you ever forgiven your government for this policy that took you and your wife away from your families?
Well, this is a policy that ended back in 1967. The assimilation policies, oddly enough, that was the same year we got the vote, the referendum, Aboriginal people. Hey, yeah, I just realised that. I don't feel any bitterness, I've been through all that. It got me in a lot of trouble, and it made me sick.
Bitterness did?
Yes, bitterness. If you eat anything bitter, it's not. You got to spit it out. It's sour. It's no good to take in. Yeah, if something's bitter in the mouth, the immediate reaction is to go spit it out. It's poison. That's how my uncle teaches me. And so, because it doesn't belong inside. And he said, "I don't feel angry or bitter, Archie, I feel sad." And that's about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Also want someone to say, to acknowledge that it happened. This happened through history to the Aboriginal people of Australia. And we're sorry. And that's all I want. That's all I want anyway.
Has anyone in the government ever said, "We're sorry"?
Not really. They talk about compensation and stuff like that. Money. Money. That's what got us into trouble in the first place. I just wanted to say, look, we're really sorry. Just someone there in power. I'll be happy then that these things happen. I can go on. I can put all this behind me.
Yeah. I want to thank you a lot for talking with us, and I wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Archie Roach's new album, Charcoal Lane, is on High Tone Records. This month, he'll perform in Minneapolis, Chicago, Ann Arbor, Boston, New York, and Alexandria.